Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app for your smart device, CairoRadio.com, and the all-new Adore Network at Adore.fm. Let's get started with the episode. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode number 279 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks, we've got a great show planned for you this week. Late once again. Always late. Lately. Holidays are upon us. Yeah, I can't be held responsible for holding up the train here, okay? Stuff is happening. I got this massive leak in my my shed roof, which is sending me into basically panic attacks, which I've never had before. And those are not fun. They're not fun. I was standing in my living room while my family was decorating for Christmas, and I straight up had a friggin' panic attack. A panic attack over clutter. Over clutter, man. It's getting bad. It's getting bad. Had to lay down. It totally tuckered me out, too. So, great excuse, right? To get out of decorating for the holidays. I just tell my wife that I have panic attacks, and now she's like, oh, you poor thing. Totally works, folks. No, man, it was real. It was real, and it was weird, and it was kind of scary. I don't want to do that again. Anyway, like I said, great episode of the Air Raid podcast for your ears this week. Grace Love of Grace Love and the True Loves is going to be joining us here in the backyard shortly. They will be playing at the annual Winter Music Festival, Tim Burr, held in Leavenworth, Washington, January 29th and 30th of this year of our Lord. Folks, I am going to be the MC of this this year's Winter Festival, and I'm super excited because we've got bands coming up with at the music festival: Strand of Oaks, Fruit Bats, man, Grace Love and the True Loves, Iskadoff, Hebu, The Young Evils, Industrial Revelation. Benjamin Verdu of Iskadoff is going to be playing a solo set. What else we got? Lee Bob and the Truth, Mindy Lind, Bed, Lydia Ramsey. I grew up with that girl. Fine Prince, Squirrel Butter, all sorts of great stuff happening. And not to mention a hot toddy bar, right? Oh man, it's going to be so much fun. Come and join us in the snow in Leavenworth, Washington, January 29th and 30th at Tim Burr Music Festival, okay? It's powered by Carter Subaru. There we go. All right. It's going to be a lot of fun, folks. I hope you guys can all join us. Go to timbermusicfest.com to get your tickets now, because it's a smaller festival, and these things do sell out. So get on it. Timbermusicfest.com. Okay. Coming up in the conversation with Grace Love. It was a rushed thing. You're going to find out. Grace Love has her fingers in a lot of different things, man. She's a very busy woman. She's multi-talented. Sounds like she's a great cook, which we're going to get into too. So I'm sorry if there are any vegetarians or vegans that are listening to this episode, because you may be offended. We don't mean to do that. But we're going to have a conversation about cooking meat, man, and fried chicken. Fried chicken is a very personal thing to me. And I get very worked up when I have the conversation about Seattle's fried chicken places, okay? All right. So we're going to be talking about that, too. It was a rushed conversation. She's a very busy woman, multi-talented, like I said. We had to kind of go quick. And I'd also like to clarify something that I said during this episode. And it's just a clarification. I'm not going to take it out because I stand by what I said. But we, at one point in the conversation, we start talking about the Seattle music scene and how it's kind of hard for new bands and different style bands to break into the Seattle music scene. And I've seen this, especially working on this show. I've seen it having my own band in Seattle. And it can be difficult for a band that's not technically playing like, you know, your indie rock, right? We have a lot of indie rock musicians on this show. And I've had a lot of great conversations with people over the past 6 years on this show that that play that type of music. And that's the type of music that I'm into as well. But there is something to be said for, you know, this this scene here in Seattle being kind of a popularity contest. If there's somebody who starts a band who's very popular, they may not be the best band in the world, but they get a lot of play, right? And, you know, that's to be kind of expected, right? You know a lot of people. You can reach out. A lot of people are, you know, fans of you yourself, and they're going to come come to your shows. And so that's kind of what happens. I bet that happens in a lot of scenes around the United States as well. But one thing that I've said during this episode is that I mentioned that, the popularity contest, and I mentioned that a lot of those bands have come on this here program. Now, that's not to say that because they're popular, they came on this program. This is the point that I want to clarify. I have bands on this show that I really like, okay? Every band that has been on this show, I have been a fan of. That's just me. I'm a super fan, and that's what this whole show is about, is just finding out more about the people who create this art that I love so much. So that's the point I wanted to clarify. It's not saying that I'm having them on because they're popular. It's saying that I've had them on because I really like them. Now, they may have gotten to where they are because they are popular people. But that's not to say that they're assholes or anything like that. They just know a lot of people. Okay? All right. So that's point clarified, Roden. Okay. The first time I ever heard Grace Love and the True Loves, it was brought to my attention by Kevin Sir, the talented man behind the Timber Music Festival. He told me about them a while back, and I didn't get around to listening to them until they played Timber, the summer portion of the music festival, this last summer. I was absolutely blown away by their sound. They've got a real, just like Motown, they've got the Motown thing just totally nailed, man. And I think you guys are really, really going to enjoy this. I love it. It's just so classic soul, so classic Motown. I can't come up with anything else to say about that. But it sounds like they've been a band for decades, and they've only been around for a couple of years. And it's very, very impressive when you find a band that clicks together that quickly. You know what I'm saying? I think you know what I'm saying. If you've been listening to the show, you know what I'm saying. And she's got a great, very interesting and heartfelt story about how her mom died and how that death brought her closer to music. Because she never really thought she wanted to be a musician until the death of her mother, which made her kind of rethink where she was going in life. And it's a very, very touching story. So I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. We're going to play music by Grace Love and the True Loves throughout the episode. This one's called Fire, and we'll be right back with our chat with Grace Love in just a moment here on the Air Raid Podcast. Stay with us. Enjoy. He's droning you and what you do. Wonder how you last it. It's so fantastic. Shots of adrenaline running through my mind. He looks at you and you know it's time to join the cloud and the setting sun, 'cause he knows how to get it done. And I got that Yeah. Well, it's not like it's your equipment, right?
Yeah. Well, one day I'll have like a mic and I'll be like, have a personal assistant have
to
them
carry
bring
that
in.
In. Yeah, yeah. In like a silver case
exactly,
and everything
with
like that.
Combination code on
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
And
man.
We'll change it like every week.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. For some reason, I don't know. Are you a fan of the movie Spaceballs?
I've seen it like once. It's yeah. It's
only
funny.
Once.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm not a nerd.
Well, there's a
nerd.
Joke in there where they're making fun of this guy's combination lock.
Oh,
and
God.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. Anyway.
Now I gotta revisit.
I was gonna try to bond with you
well,
over
see,
Spaceballs.
Well,
and it's not
I'm
gonna
work. Yeah. Well, I'll have to revisit it.
I'll let you borrow it.
Okay, cool.
Got it on DVD.
Cool, awesome.
Grace Love joining me here in the backyard. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
We were talking a little bit before we started recording that you played Timber
mm-hmm.
Fest
yes.
this last summer.
Yes.
And it was hotter than shit.
Oh, my gosh. I thought I was going to die. And then I kept being lazy because, you know, that like from the artist camping to the stage.
Right.
You know, I just would wait for like a little that little shuttle thing. Like,
oh, no, I did that.
Just don't.
Yeah.
I'm not walking this.
Yeah, I'm not.
No,
doing it.
It's too hot.
Yeah.
Nope. My soul is burning.
Where are you from? Are you a Seattle native?
I am not. I was born in Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, you should be used to that. Like,
I
know. How long did you live there?
Well, I was young, but we went back every year
uh-huh.
Till I was like 13, and I had a southern accent till then.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, we had AC. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, young
everybody's
or old,
got
everybody
the,
has
everybody's
AC.
Got the,
so it was
yeah.
like, and when I was little, it didn't bother me, you know,
uh-huh.
when it was hot outside.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older, I've just gotten old, 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 and I don't like certain things. I'm a temperature weirdo. So being hot is one of the things I don't like to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've noticed that a lot more people are getting AC
yeah.
here in Seattle because
finally,
the summer is like, it's turning into two scorchers.
Yes, it is. And it's so funny because like I grew up in Tacoma.
Okay.
So like people there, they were so weirded out. Like in the winter, I have a fan in my window.
I love that.
It's amazing. It's white noise and it's just
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
And then you can just snuggle up.
Kind of blows your hair. Like you
yeah.
leave it on your face.
Yeah.
You leave your face exposed.
Yeah.
But everything else
it's
is
all snuggly.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
They don't
we
know
we should
about
have met
it.
Long before yeah. I got married because this would have been a match made in heaven.
Definitely.
Seriously. If you would have me.
Oh, I would totally have you.
Ah, all right. That's what I'm talking about. Awesome. So you grew up in Memphis?
So we moved here when I was 3.
Okay.
But every year some tragic event happened with my mom's family,
man.
So we would have to go back for
uh-huh.
mostly funerals.
Yeah.
But we would go for like the summer and then come back, you know, road
yeah.
trips with my family. I will always remember those things. And then I grew up
wait,
in Tacoma.
Wait, did you, so you guys would drive from here in Washington down to Memphis?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I would tell my dad, like, really, like, I don't even want to go anymore. Like, no, if we can't fly, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Like, after I was about 12, it was just too much.
Right,
you
right.
know, it's
do
all
you have a
us.
Game Boy or something? Like, some
yeah,
sort
we,
of, like,
well,
portable
game Well, not
game
the Game Boy,
system?
You know, like the, okay, you remember, I don't know how old you are, but, like, they had, like, the Beauty and the Beast and the Aladdin, and, like, they were, like, personal
yes.
Game Boys.
The little ones, they had, like, little watch batteries
yeah.
in them. Yeah.
And you just look, the little basic little figures.
Yes.
Those
yeah.
were our things. Me and my brother had Aladdin, I had Beauty and the Beast, and so we would trade.
We had
yeah.
those as well. I had, like, a Super Mario one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was in the shape of, like, a Nintendo controller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But my parents were very cheap. They would never yeah. buy us the actual Game Boy. Until years later
yeah.
when, like, you know, they were kind of obsolete.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but I do remember those. And they would get so boring
oh,
so quickly.
Oh, so boring because you could beat it.
Right.
And then you would just, like, lose just so you could do it again because you're just like, this is tedious. And then me and my brother would just fight. We couldn't play Uno together because my brother would be like, you're cheating. And I'm like, just
yeah.
draw 4 and draw 4 again and draw 4 again.
And skip you.
And skip you and reverse back to me.
That is like, Uno has to be played with more than
yeah.
just 2 people.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just murder.
Yeah, it is murder.
What kind of car did you guys have?
Well, it varied, but mostly we had like a van, like a minivan.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah,
so there's some
four
separation.
Of us, yeah, 4 of us and then our pit bull, Snow White.
Yeah. Snow White was the name of the pit bull?
Yeah, she did not like gospel music, and my dad is a pastor.
Oh, really?
And my mom was a missionary.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, she did not like gospel music. Our pit bull did not like gospel music. It was weird. Like, seriously, my mom would play this one song, and she just would just go bananas, and it was just really funny. I was like, see? And everybody likes gospel music. Can't be forcing it on people.
Yeah. That's a long drive, even in a van.
Well, my dad was a truck driver. Way. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, so we didn't really stop.
Wait, he was a pastor and a truck driver?
He was a truck driver before he was a pastor.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, like 17, 18 years or something like that.
Wow.
And so
it didn't faze him
at all. He loves long hauls, and like we wouldn't stop as much. So
yeah.
We got there sooner than you would think. You know, like a 2-day, 3-day drive.
Right. You just put a bucket in the back of the van,
or you just don't say anything if you have to go. Right. He's not stopping.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That was kind of how my family operated. We had like this giant Crown Victoria station wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just a huge boat of a vehicle.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
But it wasn't like you could stand up in it or anything like that. It wasn't like a van. But it had enough room to carry the four of us.
Oh, there's four of you guys too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Family of four.
Yeah.
Across the country. Well, it wasn't really across the country. We would, like, the furthest we ever went on like a road trip was up into Canada.
Okay, you guys are from here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh gosh, I did Hornby this summer. I don't know if you
Hornby,
know where
that is.
It's in Canada.
Is that near Kamloops?
It, I don't know what that is.
that's where like Fruit Loops. That's like the farthest I've been.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's like, well, it's only 257 miles, but it's an 8-hour trip.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and you have to go through customs and all that
stuff. Oh, gosh, that was a mess.
Yeah.
But, you know, with 8 people, so.
Yeah.
It was fun. Fun, and getting there was great, and staying there. But
now you can afford your own Game Boy.
Yeah, well, kind of. No, I can't.
No.
I can't afford a Game Boy yet. I still can't afford a Game Boy.
So how did music start for you? It sounds like your family was into gospel. Your dad was a pastor.
I mean, I guess, you know, I don't want it to be cliche, you know, but it I guess it will be. But
yeah.
I was like 3 when I started singing.
Mm-hmm.
I like stole the mic from my mom.
Yeah.
I was singing This Little Light of Mine in church, and my mom was trying to hold the mic, and I was like, I got it. Got this. And she's like, oh, little diva.
Really?
And, yeah. And that was like the first kind of introduction to music. And then when I was in second grade, my music teacher was just like, your daughter is just kind of advanced. Like, we want to give her this role that's meant for a 5th grader.
Really?
And I was like,
just kind of singing all the time.
Yeah, I was like the lead in this, you know, musical when I was 8.
Uh-huh.
And it was weird because all I wanted to do was be with my classmates. They were lions, but I had to be a professor. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do this. So it's kind of like I never really wanted the spotlight.
Uh-huh.
And then as I got older, I kind of wanted to do politics and just something totally different than music.
Whoa, I know.
Politics. I wanted to be
like, how old are we talking?
Like, I wanted to be in the House of Representatives.
Yeah?
Like, we went to the state
teenager?
Capitol.
As a teenager?
No, I was like 10, 11, 12.
Okay.
I wanted to be, and then it changed into architecture, and then I found out how math was involved, and I was like, no, that's not going to happen. And then, it music never kind of came to me until it was like time to go to college.
So you had never done it with anything other than like the gospel
singing,
choir.
Yeah,
or something
singing
like that.
Choir, like jazz choir. I got like, you know, I won it's in state when I was younger.
Oh, cool.
And stuff, but I just it was like, man, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And then college happened, and I got accepted into PLU.
Oh yeah,
which I don't like to talk about very much.
Why?
I just don't like that. Yes, I said it on there. but it was just, it was a traumatic experience for me to go to a school, and I just, I didn't have the means. I had a scholarship, but
yeah,
it was really hard. And then that just kind of,
just being away from family or something?
No,
or?
We lived right down the street, but it just kind of pushed me from what music was to me. I didn't want it to be something, I didn't want it to be a job.
And
so it was like, cause I was in music, the music ed program.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't want this to be a job. No. So I decided.
Well, did it take? Because this is a conversation that I've had many times on this show, and that was. I play music, you know, as a hobby now.
Yeah.
But sitting down and trying to teach myself theory or anything that goes along with that, mm-hmm. you know, with the exception of reading tablature, mm-hmm. is it took the I feel like it took the magic yeah. away from it for me.
Well, and you're talking to somebody that's self-taught right here. And I don't, yeah. Like, I don't, you can't come to me and be like, Grace, you know, do a C, you know.
A C sharp.
C sharp major 7/8.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know, and I'm
yeah.
like, no. I'm like, play the chord and I'll find something that fits in.
Sure,
you know? So,
sure.
So, I mean, I have pretty much, I wouldn't say perfect pitch, but I have pretty good pitch. And
yeah. It's just, I've seen you play live.
Yeah. So it's like, yep, that works.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
It's all about thinking, but.
Sure.
Yeah, when you get to the theory and the talking notes and stuff, it just, I'm like, nope. I know that I can hit that, but I don't know what it's called.
Right, right. Because it is, I mean, it's a form of math.
Yeah. And you know I don't like math.
Right, we've already hit that.
As I'm taking a statistics class right now.
Like, are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's my nightmare.
Yes.
Absolute nightmare.
I'm getting it over with.
Yeah, there you go. So PLU didn't wasn't a good fit.
It didn't facilitate what I needed yeah. to do. And then so after PLU, you know, it went like, it was like a year and then my mom passed.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And so I went to Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
And while in Hawaii, I got an interview with Disney World. And so I decided to go to Disney World and work for, you know, a little time. And after that, I was like...
Wait a minute. Don't gloss over that either. What were you doing at Disney World? What was the job?
Well, the job was food and beverage. That's what I was good at.
Oh, okay.
Know? So, but...
I thought you were going to say it was like singing or
no,
something.
No, that's what, yeah. So I auditioned. Uh-huh. Like I auditioned for Zawadi. It's in The Lion King. They do a 30-minute production of it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God, it's such, oh, my gosh. If you've never been, you have to go to Animal Kingdom. And this is specifically to Florida.
Okay.
Animal Kingdom and watch The Lion King. It is the most magical thing I've ever seen in my life. And it just changed my life. So I was like, oh, music? Like, you know, I pushed it away, but then I was like, life's too short. My mom's gone, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah,
like, she'll never see me have kids or get married or all these things, and I, like, don't want that to happen to me. Like, I want to be able to facilitate this if I ever get to have kids, and I just want to be like, I have all these crazy stories for them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, because my mom was, she was an amazing woman and just kind of, you know, like a housewife, you know? Like, she just, because she wasn't well for a large part of my life, so it was just like, she didn't get to do the things she wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know? And so I want to do the things I want to do. So I was like,
and it sounded like singing was a passion of hers.
It was definitely. And she and yeah. her and I would, you know, have competitions. And she's like, she thinks she's better than me. I'm like, I don't. She goes, you're good, though. And I'm like, okay. So I auditioned for Zawadi.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it. I made it to the last audition. But I was like, oh, I can't. That was the one thing that music school might have helped with. Was
right. Right.
Just consistency and like hitting the same note every night after night, four shows or five shows a day. And I was like, no.
Knowing how to get yourself there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was really fun to audition. And then I won Best Singer of 2007 at Disney
uh-huh.
in my internship group. And after that, it was kind of, I kind of got a confident boost, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Because you got 5,000 people all over Disney that know who you are.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay. Yay. So then, you know, I meet this guy and he lives in New York and he's like, you got to come, you know, hang out and like get some shows. And there was a struggle for 3 years. I went to New York and struggled.
Uh-huh.
And it was great.
What year are we talking here?
2008 officially.
Yeah? And how long were you at working at Disney in Florida?
Well, Florida, it was like 6 months.
Oh, okay.
Internship.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then I went to New York for a month. And then I came back here, and then I went there for like 3 years and just
gotcha.
Struggled.
Yeah,
and it was great.
So who was the guy that contacted you for New York?
Oh, it's just a friend I met. And
yeah,
he was a part of the internship that I was on.
Oh, okay.
And so we instantly were friends, like instantly.
Yeah.
And it was just really fun, and you know, I was 21. I had just turned 21. So
yeah.
It was a hot mess. It was a hot mess. So the first 6 months of New York, I don't really remember. But after that, you just, you know, you get in the grind. And
I were you singing with groups or what were you doing over there?
I was doing duo gigs and stuff. And
okay.
then, like, you know, I was singing in the subway, and then a subway gig led to a bigger gig, like a private party, and from that private party just stems of beautiful things that happened. Like, it was like serendipitous, you know, like just I was at the right place at the right time, and this guy hired me for a party. Hi, Alex. And we're best friends still to this day. And I did this party, and then their friends just loved me, so they flew me to Texas. And so I went to Marfa, and I'll never forget that, because it was like the first time I ever felt like a paid musician.
Yeah.
Because they flew me there, they put me up, and they paid me. I didn't even know about the pay. I thought, you just flew me here.
Yeah,
and
this
you
payment
put me
enough.
Here. Yeah, it, like, and you, I'm getting food, and I could, what? I could get coffee out of a Keurig? Yeah. I'm winning at life right now. And I get to sing 3 songs and hang out with cool people and drink free alcohol. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. And they gave me a check, and I didn't open it until I got on the plane.
Yeah.
And I opened it, and they started crying.
Yeah.
To know what your worth is beyond anything that you've ever kind of imagined was beautiful.
$1.50.
$1.22. Minus the 8 or 9.5%.
Right. Exactly. No, that's really cool though, man.
Yeah.
So I mean, how do you go from, you mentioned that you basically were busking.
Oh gosh, yeah.
In a subway, or subway tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go from? I mean, you glossed over this a little bit, but you go from not really, you know, realizing music is. Your destination, for lack of a better term, to like really trying to make something happen, or it becoming like a love of your life.
I you know, I guess it was just like, you might not get this from me, but I'm really shy, and it's hard for me to put myself out there.
Sure.
And I think that, I don't know, I've always been the kid in the back of the class, you know, so it was kind of hard to put myself out there. And then my friend was like, you should audition for Music Under New York, which is the busking thing where I have a permit for the rest of my life.
Oh, really?
To busk.
Okay, so that's an actual, like.
Yeah, you have to audition and all that stuff. And so I was really nervous, and I was like, well, I guess I could try.
Yeah.
And so I went on an audition, and I think that, like, there's all these little points that kind of inspired me along the way.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, it's built in, so why not use it? It's, you know, it's not something I have to think about. Like, when I cook, or when I'm a chef in the kitchen, I have to think about all my precise things. With music, I could close my eyes right now and belt, you know?
Right,
like it's not
something that comes more natural.
Yeah. So after that, you know, it was a confidence building thing. Because singing for people in a subway is really hard. And I had one lady tell me, don't quit your day job. McDonald's is not going to always be hiring.
Fuck.
So, So, you know, you get those moments.
Sure.
And then you have a little baby that's like 5, and he's like the cutest thing, and he's all fitted. You know, New Yorkers have their babies all together. And he's looking at me with this big, beautiful, doe-eyed look, and he is like, after I'm done my song, he's like, Mommy, I need a dollar. We got to tip her. And I'm like, who raised you? I want to eat your face. And it's those moments that I think about. And of course you think about the negative stuff. And I auditioned for all of those singing shows. So that kind of cut down on my confidence as well.
Uh-huh.
So it was just a balancing act for me.
I've never had to go on an audition. Oh, I've never done an audition.
They're
and it sounds
stupid.
Like...
They are dumb.
The worst... For somebody like me who, you know... I come across as somebody who has big ego, I think. I'm very boisterous. I've always been the person at the front of the class making the jokes and, like, you know, vying for attention. But you know, that doesn't mean that my confidence is great. It actually probably more means that my confidence is, you know, a mile in the ground, right?
Okay.
But I feel like doing an audition for something would kill me.
Yeah.
That would be like one of my biggest fears.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Because you got to take yourself out of the situation.
Well, sure. That's what I was going to say. Like, you got to totally.
And it's hard when you got four people judging you.
Right.
You're
right.
Like, that you can't get out of your head with that. You know?
Yeah.
And so...
How did you get over that, though? Just by doing it over and over again?
I think so. I think it was that. And then I think it was more like... Just, it was my mom in my head, because
yeah?
I went down to San Francisco for one of the American Idol auditions.
Uh-huh.
And she was with me, and we were just... we were broke, and, like, we had one night in the hotel, and then we were just, like, kind of waiting, and it was just... It wasn't the best situation.
Yeah.
But she was just really... She believed in me, you know? And so I think that that was, like... When you have somebody that believes in you, it makes a lot of things so much easier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Know? So you actually auditioned for, like, American Idol and...
American Idol, America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
The Voice. The other one. I don't know. There's another one.
There's so many of them now.
There's, like, 1,800 yeah, of yeah. them. So, yeah. I auditioned for all of them
uh-huh.
at the same time.
Oh, really?
It's basically the same thing.
Yeah. 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 Did you make it on nope. any of the shows? No?
Nope. One lady was like... You're good, but you need some more confidence.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was like, you're telling what? You're not telling me something I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then after, you know, 3 years of that, 4 years of that, I auditioned for the Apollo
uh-huh.
in Harlem. And I sang my first song, and then the guy looked at me, and he goes, give me another one, another song.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay. And I sang Summertime. And he said, welcome to the Apollo.
Whoa.
And so I sang at the Apollo in 2010.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Oh, my God.
And it was like 80 of my closest friends in New York just
uh-huh.
screaming their faces off.
That's amazing.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was that. And then after that, I was like, bye, New York. Bye, Felicia. Just all the way bye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was it.
That was it. I hit the peak. I hit
yeah,
the top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like you have to find the top at any city that you want. You know, in the Bay, I sang at the Fillmore. You know?
Uh-huh.
I'm working on L.A. now. I mean, I sang at the Roxy as well in
yeah.
L.A. So it's like I'm just building my little momentum.
So tell me about that experience, though, playing at the Apollo. That had to have been... Obviously, like you said, that's big.
It was a big thing. It was amazing because the cool thing about it is, like, when you audition in any other social setting, like, oh, you know, like American Idol or something like that, everybody's
right.
competing.
Right.
So there's
right.
not, there's no camaraderie, there's no love, there's no nothing.
Yeah.
There's just a bunch of people with attitudes. Thinking that they're better than you and
trying to put on
a show.
A show when, you know, making sure that the camera's on
yeah.
and everything like that. Yeah.
Apollo, when I auditioned, I was sitting with a lot of cool people. We were standing in line and everybody was just so sweet and like genuinely wanted to do it, whether they were talented or not, their spirits were beautiful.
Yeah.
And so when all 30 of us got downstairs before the show that night, it was just everybody was like, good luck, break a leg, like,
yeah.
do a good job, like, don't even worry about nothing, just, you know, kill it, you know, and I was like...
Yeah, because once you get onto the show, there's no competition,
no,
you're there.
You're
that's
there.
What you're. That's what you came to do.
And it was great. I yeah. wasn't used to that, so it was like, oh, people are nice.
Was it pretty nerve-wracking getting up on that stage, though?
No.
No?
The all my nerves left. Because I had so many people in the audience that loved me.
Uh-huh.
So it was just like, it all left.
Yeah.
It all left. And then I got off stage and we just went and partied.
Yeah.
The rest of the night. It was great. It was so great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then that's when you came over here.
I came back here.
Back to Washington.
Yeah. And then I got an offer to go to England. And so I went to England for a while and then came back here. So just to record a dance album. I have
yeah.
dance songs that I'm really proud about. And I really want to... I've been talking to the producer who produced them, and I'm like,
uh-huh.
we got to release them because...
They haven't been released yet.
And we did them, you know, we started the first one probably 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like, or maybe three, whatever. But
yeah.
they're really fun songs, and I love them. And they've played on BBC Radio 1.
Yeah.
You know, they played...
Well, that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
Right?
So it was really fun. Like, I was doing this solo thing for a
yeah,
long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, they're really good songs, and I love them. And I'm like, I want them to play. They're so good.
So along this journey, You come back to Seattle.
Yeah.
You form Grace Love and the True Loves.
Yeah.
How does that all come together?
It was Jimmy James, the guitarist, and then Dave McGraw. Yeah.
That guy, man, he is such a tasteful guitarist.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he's an encyclopedia of soul, as we describe him.
Yeah.
And him and Dave McGraw and Bryant Moore, they just started jamming together because, you know, they just want to jam.
Uh-huh.
And me and Jimmy James, we knew each other in passing, but I had went to Europe. And then I came back, and he's like, "Are you back in town?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh, I'm doing this thing. You should just come sit in." And I was like, to be honest, like, Seattle's pretentious.
Yes.
And it's annoying because I don't like to play games, and I don't like passive-aggressive behavior.
Yeah.
And so I don't deal with it. And a lot of people were kind of shutting me out and stuff. So I was like, okay, fine. I won't play with none of y'all. But Jimmy James was one of the people that was just persistent. He was like, just come on. And I was definitely not confident because whatever, you see all these girls with these groups and they're very, very pretty.
Yeah.
And they're very, very fit. And I'm a curvy, boisterous, big black woman, you know? So it's like, you know, where do I fit in this puzzle? You know,
sure.
And I'm not about to change for nobody.
Yeah.
And Jimmy James was like, shut up. Come down to this jam. We're just going to hang out. Like, just come sit in. And I think the group was Telefunction. So it was basically all my band members.
Okay.
And we just started. I was freestyling the whole time. So all of this first album is freestyle songs that I had to make into actual songs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It kind of, the rest is history. We just vibed.
Just kind of snowballed from there. Everybody fit really well.
We fit, and then we went in the studio. We went backwards. We went in the studio. Yeah. We cut some songs. We, you know, pumped out some 45s. Then we got the CD out, and now we're working on the LP. But, like, we are very lucky to have found each other.
Yeah, yeah.
As my bass player would say.
Well, like, and it's really, I mean, it's, you know, just listening to the stuff that's available online. It's amazing because it sounds like you guys have been playing together for years.
Yeah.
Like, it's got that old soul feel to it.
Yeah.
You know, where everybody is clicking, everybody is, like, super uber professional.
Yeah.
And knows what they're doing.
We just have too much fun together, though.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, we just love hanging out with each other.
Yeah.
And especially when we're on stage. It's just we're all looking at each other, and I'm making faces or flipping people off. And it's just so much love on the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
So much love.
So do you feel like the scene in Seattle is conducive to having a soul band? I mean, you guys have definitely got a nice little following here now.
Yeah, I think we're blessed to get like 100 likes a week probably on average. It's hard. The scene. Okay, so you know about the Seattle freeze.
Like, sure.
Just to meet people.
Oh, yeah.
The music freeze is ridiculous.
Oh, I know. I played in bands in this city.
It's...
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like instead of people just, like, celebrating it and being like, yes, this is the new thing. I mean, and there's a ton of people that do. You still have those, that few, that little small population of people that are just like, well, they don't do what I do.
Blah, blah, right, blah, blah.
You
right.
know, it's like, come on now, like, stop it. And I think that... It's hard. That's hard, you know, to be a musician here.
Yeah.
And so it makes it, you know, it makes it a little kind of out of place. Because, you know, everybody's like, well, you guys, oh, your little band or your little project. And I'm like,
you've done a lot more in your singing career, your short singing career, than a lot of these bands have done in, you know, 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, and what strikes me is being annoying and kind of laughable is that it seems like there are some bands in this town, of which I've probably had a couple on my show, that have done so well because they're full of popular kids.
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know?
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so funny because it's like, if you went back to high school, I was such a nerd.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was class president for 3 years and all that stuff. But, like, I was a nerd. And I was a drama geek for 4 years. And I bowled. And I was, like, I was not the popular kid, but people would say I was the pop. And I'm like, no, I was the nerd. I was representing all the nerds out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit cooler than most nerds, but I was an undercover nerd, you know? And I think that it's really cool. It's like,
well, you need nerds. You need to revisit Spaceballs then.
I really do.
Is a nerdy movie.
I'm going to do it.
Grace.
I know. I failed myself. But my favorite movie right now is Guardians of the Galaxy.
That was so great.
I love Chris Pratt.
It's so great.
Hey, Chris Pratt, if you're hearing this, we can hang out. I don't care if you're married to that one girl. You're beautiful.
He is a good looking dude.
Oh my gosh. Let's not talk about it. I would just want to hang out with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Do you feel good about where you're at though? Like,
yeah, it's nerve wracking.
Yeah.
You know, cause everybody's like, enjoy the ride. Some people are like, oh, that you got so much hype. And I'm like, hype? No, I think we're a good band. I don't think it's hype.
Yeah.
I think we're a good band and we put on a good live show. We have a good record. I don't think it's hype.
Well, it's all about steps too, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think that we've surpassed a lot of things. Like we kind of went from 0 to 100.
Yeah.
And I think that people are just like, oh, okay, well, we'll see how long that lasts. And it's like,
yeah.
No, we're consistent. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I knew nothing about you. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, you kind of came into my brain space with a snap of the finger almost. Yeah. Like I had never heard of you guys. And then all of a sudden you were there. Kevin Sir keeps on, you know, he kept on telling.
I love you, Kevin.
Oh man. He's a great dude. And he kept on telling me about you guys and stuff. And I was like, okay. Yeah. Check it out. I'll check it out. And then I listened to it and I was like, holy shit. And then I saw you guys play live at Timber this last summer.
Hot ass Timber.
And oh my God, it was such an amazing live show. And like I said, it sounds like you guys have been playing with each other for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know?
And I love that about us too.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to worry about anything.
Right.
I could just get on stage and I know it's there.
Right.
Like,
right.
They don't like it, but I call them my chariot.
Uh huh.
Because I want to be the Roman goddess. I don't know. Aren't Romans notorious for chariots?
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds right.
Okay.
Let's take a musical break and then we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest this week, Grace Love of Grace Love and the True Loves. Enjoy this.
Pain, my heart is still beating, crying up for shame, but my faith is never fleeting. Never do I linger, I don't got that kind of time. Baby, I'm walking, I'ma say what's on my mind. Say what you gotta say, do what you gotta do. Say what you gotta say, gotta do. Break it on down. Break it on down. Break it on down. And break it on down. Now bring it on up.
Bring it on up.
And bring it on up. I said bring it on up. Bring it on up. Bring it on up.
So, Grace, when we left, we were just kind of talking about your journey into the Seattle music scene and where you guys have come in today. I did mention that you played Timberfest this last summer. And you're going to play Timberfest.
I am.
The winter portion of the festival in Leavenworth. Coming up, when is that? January?
It's the end of January. I don't know what
end of January. It's like the 29th
and
30th. And I'm going to be the MC there again. And
cool
I'm
beans.
Looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Will you join me for a hot toddy in the hot toddy garden?
Of course I will.
Yeah. Are you guys going to be up there all weekend?
My plan is to go a day before.
Yeah.
And just kind of get settled in. I'm looking at cabins and stuff. But if anybody out there wants to host me, I'll be okay with that.
Totally. Totally. I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys play live again. Looking forward to some very awkward white people dancing.
I'm so excited about white people dancing. It makes me so happy.
How do you keep from laughing on stage when you see a person like me trying to dance?
I just don't. I let it out. When I see it, I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I'm supposed to do to your body. Like, that. It makes me feel like I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I want your body to be doing right now while I'm singing.
You're good at it.
You're so good at it. Actually, that happened last night at the Neptune. It was beautiful.
Yeah?
It was so beautiful. And then I got all these 18 and 19-year-olds coming up to me like, you're so amazing. You're so great. And I'm like laughing at myself because I'm like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
You guys are babies. And this is so cool. Aww. And you're just dancing.
Yeah. That's got to feel good, man.
That's great.
It feels like Seattle's coming out of its shell a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, I think it's because of the influx of people as well.
Too. Well, that's true.
You know, there's a lot more, you know, different
variety.
There you go.
Yeah.
Variety of people.
Yeah.
Different people.
Yeah. So do you ever look back? You ever look back at like what you have been able to accomplish, and think of, you know, the influence that maybe your mom had on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. It might be a little bit off subject, but I was like trying to figure out how to, because when she died, I just had to go into survival mode.
Right.
Because I had to take care of my dad and my brother. And so I was like, okay, do I put her in my music? What do I put her in? You know, how do I honor her? And so for the first time this last year, I've been doing pop-up kitchens because she cooked a lot. So I cook.
Yeah.
That's my trade. And Nadine was her name. So Nadine's is my catering company now.
Oh, and okay. I've heard of this.
Yeah, it's mixed with me singing and me cooking.
Yeah.
So it's like this beautiful mix of what I do and what I love.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like my mom is in that capacity. So she inspires me to keep going. And then when I get in my headspace, I just create a community of food and music. And then I'm centered again.
Yeah.
You know, so I try to do it every couple months. And I'm thinking soon enough to do some bigger stuff with the food aspect of what I do.
So do you cater to like parties and stuff like that? Or you say pop-up kitchen,
so basically I've been doing it at Pike Place Market for pretty much the last year. And I just take their atrium kitchen and set it up, and we just eat and do some music.
Yeah.
The last one I had a drag show, which was awesome. So much fun. And we just eat and have community. And then I did a full-on Thanksgiving meal at the Royal Room. And, oh, my gosh. It was like,
oh, man.
I cooked food for like 100 people.
Yeah.
Turkey? I deep-fried 3 turkeys and roasted one. And
I still have yet to have a deep-fried turkey.
Mines are great.
Will you make me one?
Yes. Yeah.
I'll pay you for it, of
course. Well, no, just you just facilitate the deep-frying
apparatus.
Thing. There you go. I'll buy the turkey.
Okay. I don't have one. I'm gonna have to get one.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, because I've never had it. And this last year, my grandma, who usually cooks the turkey and stuff, she bought a pre-brined turkey. And it, like, she messed with the system.
No, you can't do
And
that.
It turned out to be the driest thing
Oh, ever. This turkey was so good, and my skin was all crispy.
Yeah.
And it was just all my herbs and spices on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And maybe I'll do you a bacon wrap one.
Yes.
So we'll deep fry it.
I saw some friends of mine did that.
And then we'll deep fry it, and then we'll wrap it in bacon and put it in the oven for, like, 15 minutes more, and then the fat will...
That's amazing. That sounds so good. Oh my God.
Well, my next pop-up probably won't be until maybe February.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing I wrote a musical like 10 years ago, and I'm actually putting it on in February.
Musical?
Mm-hmm.
Man, you are all over the map.
Oh, here. I have to do it all. Because I don't want, when I die, somebody goes, oh, Grace, I was so lazy. I don't want them to be like, Grace was in everything. She was an overachiever.
Aren't you tired, though?
I mean, you guys, I sleep for like maybe 3 hours a night.
Yeah?
Yeah, I went to bed at like 5 this
morning. That is not enough.
And I woke up at like 9:30.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Well, sorry to make your day a little bit more stressful.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. Driving north?
Yeah.
To North Seattle? Ugh.
Well, I apologize. So what kind of food do you do for the pop-up kitchen? Is it normally just kind of like home style?
Yeah, I say soul food because the city doesn't have soul food. They think they do.
Man, I tell you what, there is not – and people love the Kingfish or was it?
Yeah, Kingfish.
Kingfish. I hated that place.
See?
Fried chicken was awful.
The best fried chicken is, to me, Quick Pack.
Never even had it.
Oh, my gosh. You got to get it.
Got to get that.
No, you got to get that. It's on 23rd. MLK and Jackson.
Yeah. Izell's is okay.
No, it's not.
But it's not salty. There's not enough salt on it.
You're so frustrated right now.
I'm super pissed because everybody, like, it's like, oh, these Southern women started this Kingfish Cafe, right? You got to come down for, like, real fried chicken. And it was like, this is shit. This is not real fried chicken.
Yeah,
it should be covered in salt and seasonings.
Yeah, no,
and tastes like nothing.
Well, I think that's what happens in Seattle, though. It's so bland here.
It's so bland,
and so you add a little spice to it, and then it was like, ooh, what's that kick? Like I made collard greens, right? And a lot of people don't like collard greens.
I hate collard greens,
and people they've never had mine.
Well.
See,
all right.
No, you'll try them. And
I'll
then
try
you'll be like,
I'll try it.
You're not a vegetarian, are you?
No.
We just talked about turkey.
Yeah, come on.
So you come on. You like bacon. Okay.
I do.
So you try my collard greens, and then if you still like them, that's fine. But it's because people have never had them right. And it's just really funny to see people's face go. I had a girl walk back into my kitchen and go, your collard greens were so good. And I was like, thank you, girl. Get out of my kitchen.
Yeah.
But like there's certain things that people just mess up.
Right.
And sometimes people forget that when you're doing something from the South, you need to be on point.
Yeah.
Because you can't represent a genre of food. But
it's got to have fat in it, man. Yeah.
Well,
you can't take the fat out of Southern food.
No.
It doesn't work.
Well, and this is the thing. And I don't want people to think, oh, Grace just does soul food. I do. My soul food is whatever makes you feel comfortable.
Sure.
So I do, you know.
I like that.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And my pulled pork is to die.
You're really selling yourself.
I know. I'm really good at
it. You know, this whole thing that you started with, like you don't have a lot of self-confidence and everything.
I know.
That sounds like a hunk of shit
now.
No,
it's real life. But I'm just making myself seem confident.
There you go.
Because, you know, hey, why not?
I like it.
I'm good at faking
it. I like it. So what do you guys got coming up besides Tim Burr Fest, January 29th and 30th?
Oh, we're playing at Cafe Mela. I think I'm saying it right, or Mela, in Wenatchee for New Year's.
Doing a New Year's show.
Yeah, we were going to stay here, but everybody's like, well, we should get out of town. And
got to be careful driving over there.
I know. That's what everybody's like a little nervous about.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be okay. We'll all just drive together.
Cool.
It'll be interesting. It's going to be, you know, different. But then after that, we have this like 3-day thing. We're going to be hitting Bellingham, Portland, and Seattle. 3 days, 8th, 9th, and 10th with big world breaks. And then we have an in-studio at KEXP.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Right on. Right on. And where can we find out more about that? That kind of stuff happen.
The best is our Facebook page. That okay. is where we update and have all the information that you possibly
awesome.
Know.
Awesome.
Our website is maintained by me, so I'm so busy that sometimes it just...
It's so much easier just to do it on Facebook.
Yeah, it's a Facebook, yeah.
Yeah.
So totally. It's Grace Love and the True Loves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And we'll post a link to that
cool.
On our show blog as well. I just wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time to come in.
Oh, thank you for
even though you're
me.
Working on like what 3 hours of sleep or something
hey,
like that.
You
got
know,
to see my cute girls.
Oh my gosh, that's gonna get me through the rest of the day. I'm just gonna be laughing. Like yes,
yeah.
I can't wait to have little people. So if there's anybody out there, that
they
have
are
little people
a
with
trip,
me.
Man.
Yeah.
They are a trip.
I'm excited.
Yeah, Grace Love, looking
yeah.
for love.
Yeah, looking for love and little babies. Actually, I ain't looking for love. I just want little babies. That's real life, everybody. Watch, I'm going to get like 12 emails.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, Grace.
Be careful what you say.
On the radio. I ain't scared.
Well, yeah, I really appreciate it. And, you know, if I can say this, I didn't know your mom
yeah.
at all. But I would venture to guess that she's looking down and she's very proud.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
yeah. You. So, great
the
work.
World. Thank you.
I can't wait to see what you guys do in the future.
Me too.
Yeah. Thanks, Grace. There you have it, folks. Grace Love of Grace Love and the True Loves. I can't remember what she said about the upcoming shows, but I do know that she's playing Tim Burr Winter Music Festival, January 29th and 30th in beautiful, snow-covered Leavenworth, Washington. It is going to be so much fun. Please come and join me. I'm going to be the MC, the master of ceremony at this winter's festival, and it's going to be awesome. Strand of Oaks, Fruit Bats, Grace Love and the True Loves, Iskadoff, Ibu, The Young Evils, Industrial Revelation, Benjamin Verdu is going to be playing a solo show. Much, much more. Hot Toddy Garden, man. Join me in the Hot Toddy Garden. That's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, yeah. All of these people that I just mentioned, except for Strand of Oaks, which we're going to try to get on the show, have been on the show before. So, take that with what you will. Did I say that right? I don't think so. Oh, my God. You guys can't see this at home, but I was literally dancing while editing this episode. I don't do that. I don't do that. The last time I did that was with Hebu. Right? Yeah. All right. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. It really helps us out. Give us a little star rating. Only takes a couple seconds there on Apple. We are also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, and Cairo Radio apps, and now the new Spreaker app with the Adore Network. So get it there. Or just visit our website, air-raid.net, to subscribe directly to the RSS feed, and check out all the archived episodes, 279 episodes, with people like Mike McCready of Pearl Jam, Chris Walla, formerly of Death Cab for Cutie. How about Sebado, Lou Barlow of Sebado, man? Yeah, dude, it's all there. Cody Chesnut, comedians like Bob Saget, Mike Birbiglia, Scott Aukerman, Pete Holmes, Aisha Tyler, Ron Funches, all there, man, for your listening pleasure. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheAirRaid Podcast. Our Twitter handle is @AirRaidNet, or email me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Take the pledge to tell somebody about this show. Bring it up in conversation. Sign people up while they're not looking. All right? Yeah, you can do that. Sign up your friends, your mother, your sister, your brother, your dad. We'll even take your cousins. Or just your close friends. There you go. All right. Okay. We're going to close out the episode today. Oh, my God. This song is so amazing. You guys, just get up wherever you're at. I don't even care if you're driving your car. Actually, don't do that. Don't stand up in your car and drive and dance. That could be bad. This song is called Nobody Sweeter, and it is a total jam. Right? Oh, my God. Grace Love and the True Loves, man. What a story. What a story. Okay, well, here you go. Nobody Sweeter by Grace Love and the True Loves. Thank you so much for listening this week, everybody. We'll be back next week with a whole new episode of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Oh, man. Thank you so much. Have a great week. Nobody's sweeter, honey, than you. You got that something that makes me feel complete. When you kiss me, baby, oh, my heart goes weak. And I can't stop laughing, and I can't stop smiling. You got that something I'm totally into. And I love the way you love me, love the way you hold me. I can't do nothing but love you back. No.